to burp.
Burp.
Try. Remember the time you couldn't burp?
I know.
For like three episodes, you
like burp. Three episodes. I was waiting. I was like laying on my stomach, trying to get the burp out, trying to force her out.
Okay, I did it. I burped. Oh my gosh! Hi everybody. I'm Sarah.
Hi, I'm Alicia.
And this is Sinister States.
Oh, it's so nice. We've been sick from getting there. So what's up, people?
It's been a well for you. It hasn't been that long.
But well, it really hasn't been that long either. We just recorded on the 9th. It's the 30th. We just haven't seen that much of each other lately.
I know. Life has been so hectic. My hair is blue now. Your hair is purple now.
My hair is purple. I did it.
Oh my gosh, we're wearing like shirts that either look similar compliment. Or are the same color as our hair.
Compliment. Our hair are not.
This is the shirt I wore when we first ever recorded.
Yeah. I did not have this shirt, but if I would have had this shirt, I would have been wearing it. I love Beetlejuice.
I can't wait for the new I really can't. I just saw Beetlejuice, I think I told you, for the first time in 2022. Either late 2022, early 2023. Like, I was very... I knew everything about Beetlejuice, like, what the premise was and everything. I just never watched it, and now Beetlejuice I'm so excited.
Is, like, my childhood. And now as an adult watching it, I'm like, how did my mother let me watch this? But it's okay. Like, mm-hmm. It was different.
Dude.
We were built different in the 90s compared to kids these days. I'm just tossing it out there. I mean, no disrespect to anybody. Don't take that the wrong way. But we were just built different. Like, I feel like even people that are just a couple years younger than me sometimes. Hello. Well, I'm just saying, like, sometimes, like, even my brother, like, well, it's me different.
And your brother are the same age, yeah.
Right. I mean, it's different. Like, my mom pushed me out the front door and was like, go play.
Yeah, my dad did that too. But
I'm just
I feel
kidding.
Like...
But then, like, we were there. I feel like we were there for all the cool stuff. Like, I remember beepers, and I remember, like, the Walkmans. Like, not the CD player Walkman, but the little
cassette tape.
Yeah. I can remember in the car, like, and in the radio thing. Mm-hmm. I can remember putting my cassette tape in the front of my CD player to record songs from the radio so that I could listen to it later on the boombox. Like, that's how old I am.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I remember when the internet went... And it sounded like a fax machine going off.
Da-da, da-da.
Right. And then, like, you get in trouble. You've been on the internet for 30 minutes. I need to make a phone call. You're going to have to disconnect.
I know. I think about that all the time because, like, over the summer, like, we would be on the computer all the time. And, like, I remember, I don't know if it happened to everybody. I'm assuming so. Like, I remember being on the computer and the speakers to the computer would make, like, some, like, shh noise mm-hmm. when somebody was trying to call and they couldn't get through. And I knew that I had to get off the computer so that my mom could call from work.
I asked Ethan that one day. I was like, do you know what this is? And he's like, He's like, I don't know what that is. I said, that used to be the internet, bro.
Yeah.
He's like, what? Yeah, it wasn't just like on our phones, man.
No, I remember when I had my first cell phone, if you hit internet, you had to close it out really, really, really fast or else it was going to charge you.
Right. Well, remember when text used to be like 10, 15 cents in a text?
Yeah, and you used to have to get the carrier-specific prepaid cards.
Right.
I remember my mom, I had Virgin Mobile. My mom would get me, like, a $25 card, and I used it in, like, 3 days, and she's like, oh, well.
Yeah, like, back in the day, you used that, it's done. And you used to have people call you after 9, because after 9, it was free.
Yep, and I remember when it transitioned from 9 to 7.
Yeah.
When the phone was free. Yep, we used to be like, yep, call me back at 9 when my phone is free, because you didn't rack up the minutes and, like, lose minutes.
Yeah, like, we're old, guys.
And not even just that, do you remember when... minutes and stuff didn't exist anymore, but like your data usage, like you could not go on the internet for very long because your data would be outrageous. Yeah. Now it's a computer in your pocket and everybody has unlimited data. Right. I'm pretty sure. There's probably people that don't, but almost every plan is unlimited data and everything like that because we use our phones so much. But like there was a time, like I didn't get my first cell phone until I was 12.
I got mine at 13, yeah.
Yeah, like I was not a child having a phone at like
6 or 7, yeah.
Or a tablet. I didn't even know. I remember when the first iPad came out. I remember when the first touchscreen iPod came out, and I got it because I worked at the nursing home, And I remember my mom took me to the mall and I got her a pair of UGG boots and I got myself an iPod Touch with my like $300 paycheck that I thought was like big ballin' in 2010. And my mom to this day has those UGG boots still. Those
Okay,
same UGGs that I bought her in 2010.
I'm gonna tell you how old I am.
I know how old you are, but yes.
I remember when the first MacBook came out, you know, the white with the color, and that was
Yep.
the coolest thing. And I wanted one of those so bad. I saw Elle Woods in Legally Blonde with one, and I was like, I need one of those. And I never got one
You wanna know a funny
because they're
story?
so freaking expensive.
Yeah, the funny story about Legally Blonde. This has
What?
nothing to do with anything. So, I've never seen Legally Blonde all the way through. I just
Oh,
haven't.
yeah.
When I was 10, my sister, she's 12 years older than me, my sister was away at college, and she went to college in Fredonia, New York. So that was like 4.5, maybe even 5.5 hours away from where I grew up. And they had this thing called Little Siblings Weekend. And my mom, my dad, my little brother, and I went on a train there. My little brother threw up everywhere on the train in the bathroom.
At least it was to the
But
bathroom.
I remember going to her apartment in Fredonia, and she was watching Legally Blonde with her roommate, and I fell asleep on the couch, and we left, and my little brother threw up in the snow. And that's my knowledge of Legally
Legally Blonde.
Blonde.
I just remember watching that, but that was, you know, I was in that age where that was a cool movie to watch. But I'm just saying in general, like the bend and snap, and if you don't get
Yeah,
it, it's
no,
okay.
I get it. Is that the same movie where she goes, Superstar? No,
No,
that
that's a
is,
different one.
that's the
I've
Bring It
never
On,
seen
I'm
that
pretty
one.
sure.
No, it's not Bring It On. I don't remember
No.
what movie that
I love
is.
all the Bring It On movies.
I can remember. I remember when Toy Story came out in movie theaters.
I
That's how
remember
old
the
I am.
first movie I ever saw in theaters was The Little Mermaid. That was like 1997, I think. That is my
Little
first movie.
Mermaid came out in 89. Maybe
Okay,
they
then
were
maybe it
just doing a
wasn't.
special
They must
for
have done a special. Well,
that.
I
They
did
did every
see.
now and then.
I distinctly. I know that I went to the movies as a child and saw a Disney movie, whether it was new or
Maybe it was
not.
Pocahontas.
Maybe that's
Because
it.
Pocahontas came out in like 96, 97. I
That
remember
might have been
seeing
it.
it.
I just remember it being a Disney princess, and I just
Yeah.
always gravitate towards Ariel for some reason.
Pocahontas is my. Well, I love Pocahontas. I feel like she does not get enough credit.
Aside from being a child, I don't think I've ever seen Pocahontas.
Oh, it's actually very funny. I love
Is it? I know there's a raccoon in it.
the raccoon. I think his name is Nico. I think that's Miko, something like that. I
Miko.
haven't seen it in forever, but like, it was one of my favorites. And I know that a lot of people now get upset because it's not the actual story. Like, you hear a lot of people say the indigenous people are not fans of that story because that is not how,
Well, didn't she get taken by
yeah, that
John
she was
Smith or whatever
kidnapped
his
and
name
that was
is?
not actually the whole story behind it. But,
For kids, it's fine. We're not teaching history. We're giving them something entertaining.
In my opinion, though, I mean, her story was awful, but at least in this movie, they're gonna bring, you know, for me, it's just like it's supposed to be a.
They're remaking it, right?
Oh, that I don't know. I
Oh, I
don't know.
thought they
I'm
were.
talking
They're
about they might.
remaking a lot of them.
They're
Like they
remaking a lot
remade
of them.
Mulan, I
But
think.
I feel
Yeah,
like
they
at
did.
least in this instance, in the end, they're giving her a happy ending. A good story.
I don't know the true story of Pocahontas, but
Yeah, it's really sad. I mean, it really is,
yeah.
but I feel like they made her a very like as a princess, you know, she's a princess at least in this, and you know, at least indigenous people though, at least, you know, Disney, at least she was one of the first, like, in my opinion, one of the first princesses of color that they ever brought out, because they did her and Mulan kind of at the same time.
Yeah, and then
And for a
after
lot of
that,
time, they, you know, for the longest time, all the princesses were white.
white, blonde, and then Ariel, who's weird, but
But I
yeah,
feel
I don't
like
think they
they.
had another colored princess until Tiana
Right.
and Princess
And
and the
then
Frog.
after that, well, they had Jasmine.
When did Aladdin come out?
Like 95, 96. They did those three like right there together.
Oh,
So, I
okay.
mean, at least, you know.
Well, Tiana is.
Tiana did not come out until like the mid
2000.
2000s or late
Yeah.
2000s. Like, So I'm just glad that
but Disney's it was a hot second before they like reincorporated.
Disney's bringing people in there,
and now they have
we have squirreled so bad.
That's fine.
It's okay.
Well,
it's
that brings us to the topic of this entire
section. It's gonna bring us to it. So we are going to be discussing Quiet on the Set. We are going to give you a little Guam story, though. Guam was hard.
Yeah, that's why we're doing it this way. One, we wanted to talk about this, but also neither one of us could find anything
really on Guam.
Really, like, in-depth on Guam. Like, we could have given you a bunch of short little things on Guam.
And I am going to give you a short thing on Guam.
Like, I found a lot of little ones. And what I mean by little ones is, like, maybe there was, like, two or three news articles, and that was it.
I literally had to piece together news articles to get this.
Yeah. And, like, I was going to do a really new one. Like, apparently somebody was just, a tourist was just murdered in Guam in, like, January. But again, it's so new and developing. Like, the guy did get arrested and go to jail, but that was it. Like, this tourist got murdered. They found the dude that did it. They arrested him. He went on trial and he went to jail. Like, it was very cut and
dry. Like, he went to jail. The end.
Yeah, like, no, it was very cut and dry. There wasn't a whole lot of, like, sinister behavior behind it or anything, but we did also want to talk about Quiet on Set because, one, we both watched it, and it was, like, that ties into the 90s thing. I feel like anybody that was born in the late 80s, mid to late 80s and early 90s, so, like, you're an 89 baby, and I was born in 93, we are 90s children. Like, you grew up way more in the 90s than I did, obviously, because you were alive before that, but I also grew up in the 90s, and I feel like we are the
politely
most...
politely just told me I'm old, guy. I'm just kidding.
My husband's older than you, so... And your husband's older than you, so...
My husband is older than me.
My husband's older than you and me.
He got an awakening yesterday, or day before yesterday, as to how old he actually is, but anyways.
But yeah, no, I was gonna say, I think, like, we are the most nostalgic generation.
For sure.
Like, we hold on to our childhoods and the things that were good back then more than, like, 70s and 80s children.
Social media ruined us, so I'm just gonna be honest.
Social media had us coding on MySpace at 10, so I don't know if that's ruining. I'm just saying, we were very tech savvy.
Yeah, but I'm just saying in general, like, I feel like nowadays kids are more worried about posting to their social media or playing their video game than they are, like, our parents. I don't know about yours, but our parents maybe were like, go outside and play and come back home when the streetlights are on.
Yes and no. My little brother, he was born in 1995, so he's not really that much younger than me. He's 2 years younger. But, he and I played outside like that from the ages of probably from the time I was about 5 until I was about 10. And then I got with my group of friends and we used to go roller skating and stuff on the weekends. And we would hang out all summer together. So like when I transitioned out of that phase of like go outside and play all summer with the neighborhood kids, he also transitioned out of that. So he was 8. And he turned to video games. So my little brother has
been... And that's how my little brother is, too.
He's like, been a gamer he's been a gamer for 20 years. Right. But, like, he didn't start off as a gamer. Like, we always had video games in the house, but we very much were go outside until you come in. But, yeah, but I also believe that kids nowadays don't take this wrong way, because I know you have one. They are way too reliant on technology.
For sure.
Like, we're very reliant on it, but we remember a time when you used to have to go to the library to get a book or to go look something up or use a computer there.
Right.
Like, if my cell phone broke, I'd be lost, only because it's my GPS and I don't know how to get around this city that well yet, even though I've been here for almost 2 years. But, like, we remember a time before that, whereas they don't know anything. And yes, that's not their fault. I mean, they were born into an era where technology is at their fingertips at an extremely young age, but...
I'm going to let you in on a little fact, though. Are you ready for it?
Always. I love facts.
I make my kid go to the library and get books.
Good.
We're not doing that. And guess what? He doesn't play on his video game all day. We go outside and play.
And he loves it.
Right. And he loves it. And
like, y'all little bike riding and stuff. Right.
We do things outside, too. We don't just stay indoors all the time because... we're not doing that.
And it's not healthy. Like, everybody needs some sunlight, fresh air.
That vitamin D.
Yeah. But there are a lot of kids that just get a tablet shoved in front of them, and that's it.
Yeah. But and we aren't playing that game.
And I don't have kids, and Zorro doesn't have thumbs, so... But Sora does not anyway, have I thumbs. have squirreled, so we will be doing both of these episodes jointly.
Right.
So it isn't going to be a Sarah episode and an Alicia episode.
Right.
This one and the next one will be joint because this is going to replace our Guam week.
Guam week. Although I
So
am going to give you a little Guam.
yeah, we're not discrediting Guam, just there wasn't enough to make two full
Guam don't
episodes
be
on
airing their
Guam.
dirty laundry, is
Good for
exactly what
Guam.
it
Maybe
is.
they don't have that much dirty laundry, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It is a small place.
But I'm going to take you guys back to February 12th, 2013. You guys ready for it?
What was I doing on February 12th, 2013? I can
Ooh.
tell you what I was doing on February 12th, 2013. No, I can't. Yes, I can. No, I don't know. Okay. I was in college. I'm just trying to think if I went out for like a Valentine's Day dinner with like my friends or not.
Oh, okay.
Because I had friends. We always did that.
Did you have a Lewis at that point or no?
No.
She didn't
Nope.
have a Lewis at that point.
No.
I had Scott at that point.
I did not. I didn't. I only had two.
We were living in sin at that point.
I only had two quote unquote serious relationships throughout college. One of them was stupid, and the other one was stupider. And
Oh, I
then
like
I
their
was,
names.
yeah. Well, I
Squirrels.
only referred to one of them as Satan. I don't think I've ever even said his real name to you. The other one I call the Mexican Uncle Fester, and that is a self-given title. That is not something I'm saying in a derogatory manner. That's what he believes he looks like. So.
Oh, okay.
And then I was single from 2014 until I met Lewis in 2016, so I
Good
had
old
zero.
Louie.
But I'll tell you, if I married the people that I dated in college, whoo,
It's one of those things. We're
God
young
bless
and
me.
dumb. So we are going to go to February 12th, 2013. We have a 21-year-old Chad Ryan DeSoto.
You got a really easy name.
Yeah. He decided to drive his Toyota Yaris onto the sidewalk.
That is a baby car. If you don't know what a Yaris looks
Yeah,
like,
they're tiny. They don't even make them anymore. But he drove it onto a like it's like an upscale shopping center, and it said that's in Tumon Bay. It says it's at the Outrigger Guam Resort. He drove his Toyota Yaris up on the sidewalk and into the ABC store. And in the process, he hit like seven people on the sidewalk. So he ends up running into the side of the building. Then he jumps out, abandons the car. He runs up to people and starts attacking them with a knife, stabbing them. Yeah, so the scene quickly turned into a nightmare as the chaos ensued. At that point, the Guam police, once they got him in custody, they charged him with 2 counts of murder because he did kill two people there on the scene,
Oh my
and
gosh.
13 counts of attempted murder and 13 counts of aggravated assault. The motives behind his actions were never figured out. They could never figure out what happened. So the area that it happened in is known as like high-end boutiques and hotels. And like even one lady, so there was an 81-year-old woman named Kazuko Uhari. So she lost her life that day. He stabbed her twice at the scene of the incident, along with her daughter, who was Rai Sugmaya. She was 29. That's a big age gap. That's her daughter, though. She also succumbed to her injuries after being stabbed approximately 5 times while trying to protect her 8-month-old daughter.
Oh my gosh. Tell
Yeah.
me the baby survived.
The baby did survive, but it did have injuries.
Oh my gosh.
So the husband of Rai, Yasuki Sugmaya, I'm struggling with these names, so if I said it wrong, I'm sorry. He was also a victim of the attack, and he tried to shield their other child, who was 3. Both children did sustain injuries, but they did survive. There was another innocent bystander, a local woman named Keilani Quinicchio, who was targeted by the attacker also, and she suffered cuts on the back of her head and neck, but she did survive. And then there was an actual third victim who later succumbed to his injuries. There's a 51-year-old Hashioto Yokota of Japan, and he died 2 days after the incident. Of the 14 victims, 6 of them were struck by the car.
And eight other individuals were also injured or killed, including that 3-year-old and 8-month-old.
Wow.
But he did enter a plea of not guilty on the ground of mental illness after intentionally driving into these innocent pedestrians on the sidewalk. And following the car crash, where he proceeded to attack everyone, it's just kind of a sad situation, like all the way around.
I just hate when they plead insanity. Like,
Yeah.
you knew what you were doing.
But.
That is blatant, in my opinion, because you got out with a knife and continued.
Right. So in August of 2014, a jury reached a verdict of guilty for him, and he was convicted of 3 counts of aggravated murder and 11 counts of attempted aggravated murder, which they, at that point, held him accountable for his actions. He did come back and attempt to try to get his stuff. Like his sentence lowered because he still was saying that mentally he wasn't stable at the time. But Guam shut that down, and so he's going to serve all those terms.
Good, as he should, because that is
Like I said, that's
disgusting.
the most I could find on him. And
Dude,
that was placing together like 3 articles.
that is enough because he sounds like a piece of work.
So, but they never found out why he did it. He just,
No, he
it's,
just thinks that he's insane, but
as
he's
bad as
not.
it sounds, he literally woke up that day and chose violence.
I
I mean,
know,
that's
he'd
what it
be
comes
that,
to.
like Zorro. He'd just be waking
Lord
up
of
on his own
the
personal episode of A Thousand Ways to Die.
So now we're gonna get into Quiet on the Set, guys.
Yeah. So, if y'all haven't seen it, you should watch it because it's good in general. Even if you weren't a kid during the 90s, like Nickelodeon era, that's what it's all based around. It's Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Children's TV is the actual full title, and it's centered around Nickelodeon creator Dan Schneider, who created some of the most iconic Nickelodeon TV shows for kids in the 90s. Things like The Amanda Show, Victorious,
All that.
all that, Drake and Josh.
There was another show too, but it was on a different network because it was after he left
Sweet Life
Nickelodeon.
of Zack and Cody.
He did help with Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, but there was another show too they discussed. It was one he used Amanda Bynes
Oh, it
into.
was
I did not
wasn't it
watch
called
the show.
Growing Pains or something in the
No.
middle or something? It
Oh.
was a
It was a different
it was
network all
an
the way around.
episode. It was an episode. It was a TV show that Amanda Bynes starred in. I think it only had like a season or two. But
Yeah,
it
it
was when she
didn't.
was a teenager, like becoming
Yeah.
an adult, and she didn't want to do kids TV anymore.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on the entire, like, because it's not done yet, apparently. I
Yeah.
thought that the series, like the
There's more
Quiet on Set, was
episodes to
done,
come
but they're
out.
coming out with more
And I figured
episodes.
the way they ended it, with Drake Bell that there was going to be more. So, I do want to go over a couple facts, though, because this all goes around. Basically sexual assault. I mean, it's what the case is about and the misconduct. So I used the RAINN, RAINN, which is known, I did not know what it actually stood for, but it stands for Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. So they're there to help anybody, any victim of sexual assault, regardless of age. It's the nation's largest anti-sexual violence organization. So RAINN created and operates the National Sexual Assault Hotline, which that number is 800-656-HOPE, HOPE. And then they also have an online website too, which is online.rainn.org. So, and they partner with more than 1,000 local sexual assault service providers across the country. And they also help operate the DoD Safe Helpline for the Department of Defense. So they're trying to help anybody that they can. They carry out programs to prevent sexual violence, help survivors, and ensure that the perpetrators are brought to justice. So this episode is going to be coming out mid-April.
Yeah, it comes out on the 15th, I believe.
And so April is actually, and we did not plan this, it is actually like the Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So I wanted to give you guys just a few facts of sexual assaults in America. So every 68 seconds, an American is sexually assaulted. And every 9 minutes, that victim is a child. So that
That
would
is
be somebody under the
disgusting.
age of 18.
That is disgusting.
Meanwhile, only 25 out of every 1,000 perpetrators will end up in prison. I know, that's the most disgusting part is how many people get away with this.
And then every 9 minutes, Child Protective Services substantiates or finds evidence for a claim of child sexual abuse. Every 9 minutes. So Child Protective Services agencies substantiated or found strong evidence to indicate that 57,329 children were victims of sexual abuse in 2016 alone. Yeah. Out of all victims under the age of 18, 2 out of 3 are ages 12 to 17. So 34% are children under the age of 12.
Wow.
1 in 9 girls and 1 in 20 boys under the age of 18 experience sexual abuse or assault. 82% of all victims under 18 are female. Females ages 16 to 19 are 4 times more likely than the general population to be victims of rape or attempted assault. So the effects of child sexual abuse can be long-lasting and affect the victim's mental health. Victims are more likely than non-victims to experience the following mental health challenges after an assault. About 4 times more likely to develop symptoms of drug abuse. Are more likely 4 times more likely to experience PTSD as adults, and they are about 3 times more likely to experience a major depressive episodes as adults. Now we're going to get into the perpetrators, which I feel like is a very important part of what we're discussing. Are you ready for it? So perpetrators of child sexual abuse are often related to the victim. Among the cases of child sexual abuse reported to law enforcement, 93% of the people who abuse the child or victim are known to them.
Yeah, that's like a huge thing, which is really
So,
disgusting.
and of that, 7% are stranger assaults. 59% are acquaintances, and 34% are known to be family members
I know.
themselves, which is sad.
That is so disgusting.
Out of the sexual abuse cases reported to CPS in 2013, 47,000 men and 5,000 women were the alleged perpetrators. So women too, not
Oh yeah,
just the
women do it
men.
too.
I mean, some people think like the women, oh, women, but they do. In 88% of the sexual abuse claims that CPS substantiated or finds supporting evidence of, the perpetrators are male, and in 9% of these cases, they are female, and 3% are unknown. So that's just some like little crazy facts that you most likely 93% of them know who their perpetrator
Yeah,
is on some kind of level.
it's so heinous.
So it's definitely a very sad situation. Those episodes were hard to watch
Yeah.
at times.
But they didn't even hesitate. They just
No.
jumped right in with all of the allegations. Not the
Well, I mean,
allegations, but all the bad
there was like
going-ons.
racism. I mean, at some point there was racism thrown up
Yeah,
basically because
because
that one girl, they just she was mistreated basically because the way she looked. I mean, it seemed like to me, and there was all kinds of allegations.
Yeah, they were talking about there was two Brian Williams, I think is his name, and another black male actor. They were both saying in the interviews that they felt lesser than their white counterparts
Yeah.
because Dan Schneider didn't spend as much time with them and they weren't ever his favorite,
Well,
and
the
a
same
lot
with
of
that girl
times, yeah.
too. The girl, I can't remember what her name was, but she was on that she the all that show.
Well, there was two. There's Giovanni Samuels and
Listen
there's
at Siri, remembering all the names. I'm
Giovanni Samuels was one of my
awful.
favorite actresses on all that, and I remember her distinctly. She was so funny. But I don't remember the other girl's name because I think she was only on it for a season.
Yeah, that's probably the same one I'm talking about then.
But yeah, a lot of them. And I was actually very surprised that I guess we don't know who else is going to pop up on the documentary, but Kenan Thompson played on all that, and come on as of yet. I think Kel Mitchell did too, but
Yeah, Kel did.
I remember Keenan was Pierre Escargot on the Amanda show. Or
Yeah.
maybe it was all that, but he played Pierre
Well, they had
Escargot in the
Keenan and Kel
bathtub.
too. I don't know if Dan Schneider did that show or not, but remember there
I
was
don't think
Keenan and
he
Kel
did.
show.
But yeah, there was Keenan and Kel. There was Cousin Skeeter. That was
Right.
another Nickelodeon show, but I don't think Dan Schneider did that one. Dan Schneider did do Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide. Did you see on TikTok that the actors and the actress from that show were like poking fun at Drake Bell?
I did not see that. That's
Yeah.
awful.
Oh yeah, and then they tried to apologize and say that they hadn't seen the documentary and they didn't know that that was what it was about. And I'm like, of course you knew. Like, you made the joke and then said our set wasn't like that.
Well, the thing, well, yeah, well, Nick Cannon was on All That for a while too, at one point, if I'm not mistaken. I wonder if Nick Cannon's gonna come on and talk.
Maybe. But yeah, there's a lot of like favoritism. Like that one girl, I forgot her name.
Well,
Brianna or something.
okay.
The one that was like Dan Schneider's favorite until Amanda
Till Bynes,
Bynes.
yeah, and he called he the one he like basically insinuated that she was getting fat. Is that the
Yeah.
same one?
No, no,
Yeah.
no, no, no. That was a
No.
different one. That was another girl, but maybe it wasn't Brianna or Ashley or something.
There's a lot of the cast that has not came on yet.
Are they supposed to come on?
Oh, I'm just saying, like, I'm looking through like to see exactly who was the cast of All That, and like, we haven't
Amanda
seen.
Bynes apparently has, she's decided not, she got offered to do an interview for it and she said no. I guess. She's troubled. Did you see her face tattoo? Her
I
heart?
have seen it, and I now question after watching this if she wasn't being abused by Dan Schneider. I'm just gonna be honest.
I mean, it is definitely possible. He was creepily
After
involved in
hearing
her life.
how, yeah, I was gonna say.
But did you see the part, like, remember the part where her father made her do this? Like,
Yeah.
Amanda Bynes, like, didn't want to necessarily. She was
Right.
funny and she, like, wanted to be in Hollywood, but not to the extent that her father forced her to be.
Right.
And he was buddy-buddy with Dan Schneider.
Right. But not only that, though, but just the fact like he inserted himself so much in her life over pretty much everything that she was doing at one point. But then, too, just the way that her mental health has gone down.
Yeah.
Like, it makes you wonder if that wasn't, because, like, we just read, like, four times higher to have severe mental
Yeah, I mean,
health
she was
issues.
definitely abused, whether it was physical or just mentally and emotionally.
Yeah.
There was abuse going on, whether she recognized it as a child or not,
I mean,
because
and after the way Dan Schneider did the ladies that worked for him,
dude, that was
how he talked to them
horrible.
and things, like, he, and even the sexual innuendo that was like going on in the show, like with the, like, even they were talking about, the Jamie Lynn Spears where they had the stuff like shoot her in the face, like there was a lot of that going on that as an adult you would be like, what are you watching?
Yeah, and like Dan Schneider's foot fetish.
Right. And that's what I'm
Yeah.
saying. Like, it makes you wonder if he wasn't doing something to these kids.
I don't know if he was doing anything to the kids. I think he was just extremely creepy. I don't know. I feel like once he got fired from Nickelodeon, allegations would have came out.
I mean, look at Drake Bell, though. Some of the people that worked with him on set did not know that he was the actual victim until this episode.
Which is true,
Yeah.
but he's still, that's why I say, like, when Dan Schneider finally got fired, I feel
Yeah.
like people would have pursued or come out and said something if that had actually happened, because Drake Bell was technically never silent.
Yeah.
He just never came out himself to say anything. Like, the guy was still tried, Brian Peck, he was
Yeah.
still tried and convicted. It
But I
wasn't
feel
like
like
a secret.
luckily that was an era and time where the news and social media was not around like it is now, too.
Yeah, but I will say, they were, people online were asking, like, where was, what the heck is his name? Jerry, whoever played Spencer Shay on iCarly, the big brother,
Yeah.
I forgot his name, but people were asking where he was. And apparently he would go to set early and stay on set late
That's
to
what I
make sure
read
that
to
the
make sure
kids
that
were
the,
safe.
yeah, that's what they said, that he would even come in on his days off if they were doing something and he wasn't in the scenes. He was like a protector.
Yeah, he was like truly like their big brother.
So, and that's what,
And
makes
even
the
like
difference.
iCarly is extremely sexually innuendoed in
Yeah.
terms of that. Like, but as kids, like, you don't recognize that.
You don't know. And that's what that one lady was saying. She was like, as a kid, I didn't think anything was wrong with it. I think she was the one that was working with Jamie Lynn Spears on that one show.
Oh, Alexa, what's her name? Nicholas? She was the
Something
one
like
that was
that.
on Zoe
Yeah.
101. She was the one that they cast as the boy crazy one.
Yeah.
And she ended up like, they wanted her to do like so many different things in terms of being like boy crazy that she ended up going insane and quitting the show. And they replaced her with Victoria.
Giovanni Samuels, that's the
Yeah.
one that we were talking about. Like she was, basically
I love her. She is so funny.
she was, and she was basically talking about how she wasn't treated the same as her white counterparts as well, which is sad.
Well, it just, it's really sad.
It is sad, and like those kids went through it. Like you're reading like all the things that, or they're talking about all the things like he would make them do, how they felt uncomfortable at times on set,
But they
and
couldn't
then
say anything.
you couldn't say anything. And I really feel like, and I don't care what anybody says, like I really feel like the Me Too movement helped open things up a little bit better for people to actually start talking about what happened. I feel like that made a big difference, and it's sad to know that. I mean, for me personally, it's like all these shows I watched as a child, like now knowing what these kids were going through, and as a mother, like I would be like killing some people. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's sad to see what all happened and to see like the level of involvement and the fact that Nickelodeon did nothing about it.
Oh
You
yeah,
know they
because
knew.
it was because Dan Schneider was their golden boy. That was their cash cow, and they wanted to keep everything hush hush.
Because Brian Peck,
Who was the guy before him? I forgot the guy's name. Jared
something.
something?
Yeah, he was the one that was messaging the little girl,
That's what I was
like
gonna say. Like, that
dick
just.
pics,
But
basically.
that goes to show you the era that was child stars. Like, you wanted your kid to be a star so bad. Like, the mother was on the interview of Brianna, I
Yeah,
think.
yeah.
Did you notice that she only speaks about her daughter as if her daughter is deceased?
Yeah, well, her daughter probably has nothing to do with her now.
Probably, or she is deceased, and
Yeah.
we just don't know it. But that just goes to show you, like, you wanted your kid to be a star so bad that you allowed this to happen.
Right.
And then when she thought about going to the police, she said, "No, I shouldn't go to the police because
Because it's
that'll
gonna
ruin
ruin my
everything."
daughter's career.
Yeah, but it wasn't about her daughter, it was about her. Like,
Yeah.
because wasn't her daughter like 11?
Hello, Jamie Lynn, or Britney Spears' dad, Jamie Spears. I about said Jamie Lynn, but the dad's name's Jamie too. I mean, he's the perfect example of the crap parents that were in the 90s that were pushing their kids to stardom. I
Look at
mean,
Amanda Bynes' dad.
right.
He's the reason that she even auditioned for anything
I
like
mean, even Britney
that.
Spears, like Britney Spears, look at all the things that she's gone through and is just now really talking about. Like a lot of these child stars have not discussed the things that have happened to them. And especially the men really haven't come out discussing a lot. And that's like, you know what I mean? You were talking and I was like, the thing is people have been talking about Corey Feldman has been discussing the things that he and Corey Haim went through as children. On the set of, I can't even remember the movie, Stand By Me, something like that. Like, they're discussing, like, he has been saying it for years and years and years and years, and then everybody made him look like he was crazy. I feel like that's the Hollywood go-to. Like, if they don't want their secrets to be released, they're gonna try to make you look as insane as they can. Oh, he's just a washed-up drug addict, you know? And he was an addict. But we just did the statistic. Like, it makes sense as to why he's a drug addict because He went through years and years of abuse. And that Corey, like, he's come out claiming that Charlie Sheen was the one that abused his friend. And like, there's a ton. Like, we could go into that. That would be like its own thing, though. But it's just sad the extent that Hollywood is going to, and the lengths that they go to protect the people who are actually hurting kids. I mean, it's sad.
And the fact that there, at the time, there was no background check process into people. Like, if you were a child predator, as long as you had the skill set to do the job, you could get a job in Hollywood on a TV set with children.
Right.
And that's what that one guy did, whose name I forget.
Yeah.
But nobody knew that he was a predator
Yeah.
or anything. Not the one guy that we're talking about, not Brian Peck and not the other guy, but did you see in like episode 3 or 4, they popped up that there was a custodian or something that worked there,
Yeah.
and he was a registered child abuser, like sex
Right.
offender, and they still didn't have the safeguards in place to do proper background checks, and they let him on set anyway.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show that they didn't take precautions for these children. And I think that they claim in like one episode that, like, or maybe it was like the credits or something after the last episode, but people said that, oh, their parents were allowed to be there and they just left and da 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 da. But like, Drake Bell's dad comes in and he was like, no, there were certain places like on set that I couldn't be, and I constantly had to watch Drake from a distance.
Right.
And by the way, just as a preface, I personally am only speaking on Drake Bell's abuse in the in these episodes. I'm not condoning anything that he's done afterwards, because you know
Right.
he was messaging a 14-year-old girl and had like some sort of online relationship. I'm not condoning that. I'm not a
No.
Drake Bell sympathizer. I
No.
feel bad for what he went through as a child, but as an adult, even with that trauma, you should have recognized what you were doing to another child.
So I always go, and like, I'm like you, I'm not condoning it by any means, but most of the time, and I could be wrong, I'm not saying everybody, but most of the time, people who are offenders towards children had the, they're repeating what happened to them most of the time. And that's what, I mean, and according to the show, 14, 15, that was the age that his abuse started. And it's almost like he's just carrying on that cycle, trying to.
And he's definitely turned his life around, and there is no apology that can be given to that child or her family.
No.
But as long as he doesn't do it again, like, I would consider that a step in the right direction.
Yeah. It's sad to see what he went through, and I'm gonna be honest, I felt so bad for his dad more than anybody else.
I cried when his dad cried. When his dad was
Because
crying.
like, his daddy was doing everything in his power to protect his son. He knew what was going to happen if he did
He knew
not.
who
He
Brian
knew.
Peck was as a person. Like, he
Right.
could just
He
sense
pegged
it.
it. Like, really. Like, he
Yeah.
knew. So, all right. We're like 45 minutes into this.
Okay,
Do we want to
so.
go to part two?
Yeah, we'll jump into part two on Thursday. Yeah, just join us again for more Quiet on Set.
And we're going to discuss Brian Peck a little bit more and.
And things that have come out about. We'll talk about Brian Peck, what he did, some weird things that popped up in the show surrounding him,
That nobody's really talking about.
as well as his sentencing and
Yeah.
what happened with that. So come back on Thursday. Any parting words for this episode?
Oh, just watch your kids. Watch your kids. Like, that's all I can say about this episode is watch your kids and don't go to Guam because they're not going to report if a crime happens to you. The end.
And as always, there's probably something sinister right in your own backyard.
Dun, dun, dun.